You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it.
I'd like to welcome you all to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with myself, DJ Ambush, Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you doing this week, sir?
Man, I'm doing well. Just happy to be in 2023.
Yeah.
It's cloudy, it's rainy, but it's still an excellent day to be alive.
I know that's right.
How are you doing?
Good. We kept it really low key for the holidays. You know, there's still a lot going around with flu and RSV. So I didn't have any gigs for New Year's Eve. I was able to just stay home with the family and relax. So that was fun. And we kept things pretty low key for Christmas as well. So it was just some good time to relax and just, you know, play some card games and domino with the family. It was good.
Awesome. Yeah, I learned a new game over the holidays called Settlers of Catan. Yeah, I never heard of it. We played a whole bunch of it this holiday, so it was, It was a lot of fun.
Okay, I have to check that out. But I did like, once we got back to work and I started talking to some of my staff here, I said, you know what? I felt like everyone kind of had it low key this year, and that's great. But next year, we're gonna go crazy. Next year, big party. Yeah. Let's do a concert. Let's do something.
We gotta make up for all these years we've been locked down, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh man. So this has been. Go ahead.
I got a question for you, though.
Uh huh.
I want to hear about your New Year's resolution.
You know what? I didn't make a New Year's resolution. I didn't. I haven't made one in some time. I wanted to get out of the habit of setting dates for things to happen as opposed to just doing them. And I think part of it, it's interesting that you brought that up. Part of it definitely tied into a health challenge I had years ago where it's always like, you know, often for people, the New Year's resolution is getting in shape. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change the way I eat. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start walking. And when I faced that particular health challenge, it was like, hey, see, why are you making resolutions? You know, just make the changes that you need to make. You'll need to set a date for it.
Exactly.
So from that point, like I kind of stopped making New Year's resolutions. It was just like, just do what you're going to do. And there is a level of, guilt and disappointment sometimes when you don't stick with your resolution, and that causes anxiety. So it's like, I'm not doing any of these resolutions. How about you?
Nah, I'm with you, my man. It's about being a better human every single day.
Yes.
Resolutions, New Year's resolutions, it's been years, over 20 years since I did that. And
yeah.
I'm all about, you know, finding, I call them commitment buddies, where we keep each other honest and
accountable.
I'm like, hey, I'm working on this and, you know, I need you guys to keep me honest. And so that's what I do. But it's not a New Year's resolution per se.
Yeah. I love it. There was a quote from Will Smith that I saw maybe like 6-7 years ago. And he was like, you know, the best thing you could try to do is just be a better person than you were the day before. And that's it. That's it.
If that you can just so true.
Try to be a better person than you were yesterday, every single day you're making progress.
Yeah.
So it has definitely been a whirlwind of a week, especially with the variant that is on the rise right now. There's still people that haven't caught up on all their boosters. There's still some conversations about people being vaccine resistant. And on top of all that, was that Monday night, the football game? We witnessed DeMar Hamlin collapsing in the middle of the game. And that stoked up a lot of fears and a lot of misinformation around vaccines. So we want to focus on that primarily this episode. We will be discussing the new strain a little bit later in the episode as we lead into next week. But yeah, let's get into it. You know, some social media posts have suggested that COVID-19 vaccines led to football player DeMar Hamlin collapsing in the middle of an NFL game on Monday night. I'm asking this question, representing the masses. Should we believe them?
Wow. You know, that was a sad situation, man.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it live, right? I saw the news, you know, I saw it on the news and on social media, everybody's been talking about it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad to see a young man like that go down the way he did. And thankfully, he's doing much better now. And even though he's still listed in critical condition and still hospitalized, but this is a major shout out to the EMTs that responded to him immediately.
Yeah.
After he fell down, and the CPR he got, etc., etc. We'll talk a little bit about that later on, but just a shout out to the EMTs that were available and that worked on him. So there are a lot of emotions that come up when we talk about vaccines, when we talk about some of these mandates and that we've had to deal with the last 2.5 years, 3 years, because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And so the things that people have been talking about, which is there's a connection between Hamlin and the COVID-19 vaccines, that's actually not true. That's nobody's been able to cite any evidence or any sources where that came from, but it's unequivocally false.
Mm-hmm.
It is not true that COVID-19 vaccines had anything to do with what happened to Hamlin. As a matter of fact, it's a condition that occurs in people that play sports. It's very, very, we'll talk more about it later on, but it's incredibly rare, and it had nothing to do with COVID-19 vaccines.
Hmm. What do you think is the motivation behind people that want to jump to those conclusions? I mean, I guess to some extent, we're always, all of us are always looking for answers. But there are clear places to find these types of answers. And to, you know, hop on the internet, in spite of the many different links and websites and reliable places where you can find medical information, and to create alternative viewpoints and just make things up. Like, what do you think the motivation is for that?
Man, how much time do you have? You know, I think it's become very fashionable to say whatever you want to say so that you can get likes, or you get more followers, and you can generate revenue, or you can become more famous, quote and unquote.
Yeah.
And, you know, gone are the days when you could reasonably, you could trust what was being said, or maybe not trust, but have faith that people didn't have bad intentions. And now it's, you don't like something, you just, you know, hashtag it, and boom, it's on social media, and you could become viral and unfortunately cause a lot of problems for people, as is the case right now with the misinformation. The misinformation and disinformation that we're seeing with the COVID-19 vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point to bring up when we're thinking about motivations. And just like me searching information online.
You should coin that, my man.
I stole it from someone else. I can't remember who I stole it from.
Oh, that's awesome. Me searching, not researching.
Doing me search. But like, when you find this particular source, what is their motivation? You know what I'm saying? When you find this particular tweet, what is that person's motivation? Go to the to their profile page. Take a look at other tweets. See if their principles on other subjects line up with yours. Like, check their credentials. You know, just having the right phrasing and sentence structure isn't enough for us to believe and rely on tweets. So circling back to Commodio cordis real quick, is this the exact same thing as a heart attack?
That's a good question. And that's something that that has been brought up on social media. No, it is not the same as a heart attack. It's very, very different from a heart attack. It would be incredibly rare for a 24-year-old healthy male to have a heart attack. So no, it is not the same thing as a heart attack. And the mechanisms are very different. And we can, again, we should give a shout out to the EMTs that worked on Emlyn when he went down.
So there are very few cases. We talked about this before. That are heart cases that relate to or condition that relates to vaccine or actually COVID. Myocarditis. We spoke about this.
Myocarditis and pericarditis.
Yeah, we spoke about this a while ago. Could you explain that again for anyone that is possibly unfamiliar with that?
Yeah. So pericarditis or myocarditis, they're two different things. So, and they've been associated with COVID-19 vaccines, rarely associated COVID-19 vaccines. Now, when I say rarely, right, I'm talking about 0.5 cases per 100,000 vaccinated people per year. So it's incredibly rare. And this is inflammation of the lining of the sac in which the heart sits when it's in the chest.
Okay.
So that inflammation, that lining, that sac that the heart is in can become inflamed, and it's called pericarditis. And myocarditis is inflammation of the heart muscle itself. And that can also occur. It's incredibly rare. It's just as rare as the pericarditis. So some people will call it perimyocarditis.
Okay.
And it's incredibly rare. And I should also say that what we have seen during this pandemic is that folks with COVID-19 it's estimated that they have about 100 times higher chances of getting this myocarditis or perimyocarditis from being infected with COVID-19 right. than from, you know, getting the mRNA vaccine. So 100 times more likely of developing this condition from getting COVID-19. Not to mention all the other conditions that come with COVID-19, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's a great point that I love that we just keep circling back to over and over again whenever there's any misinformation or disinformation around the vaccine. Do you want to roll the dice? Do you want to gamble with catching COVID and the probability of you receiving a myriad of conditions is that much higher? You know, why even, you know, play that game? But specifically with myocarditis, it's much more likely, 100 times you said, more likely that you could get that condition from COVID as opposed to getting it from the vaccine. Yeah. I want to thank Holly Henson for asking that question. We have a couple more questions, too, from the community while we're on the topic, and I'll just keep inserting those throughout the conversation. So the condition that Hamlin actually did suffer from, do we know what that was? Because, I mean, in it's easy to just jump to a conclusion without people knowing what any pre-existing conditions may have already been there.
Yeah, so as far as we know, Hamlin did not have any pre-existing conditions.
Okay.
And it's actually highly unlikely that he had any pre-existing conditions because he's a football player, right?
Gotcha.
The care that they get to be able to be on the field, the medical care that they get is phenomenal.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like, you know, our pilots or folks or astronauts, they get a lot of checkups because, you know, we want to make sure that they're doing well and that there aren't any issues. The
right.
Same thing with any professional athletes. They get a lot of medical care. So the condition that he had, it's colloquially known as sudden death, right? Or cardiac arrest. That's what a lot of people were calling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The specific condition is called commotio cordis. It comes from the Latin, essentially that means that there's a disruption in the electrical activity of the heart that occurs due to blunt trauma.
Okay.
So you get trauma to the chest, you get hit in the chest really, really hard. That can cause it. And we typically see this, actually. It's very interesting. We see this. It's incredibly rare, right? There's actually a commotio cordis registry that's maintained, and there are about 10 to 20 cases a year in the U.S.
Wow.
10 to 20 cases a year in the U.S.
Wow.
So it's rare. And we usually see it in young males. Most of, I would say 95% of the cases are males. Almost 100% of them are people younger than 20. Average age is about 15.
Wow.
And that's the average, about 15. So it's, and most of them, about 75% are white males.
Okay.
So it's incredibly rare. I mean, we're talking 10 to 20 cases a year.
Mm. I mean, it makes sense. We're talking blunt force trauma. Football is a very high contact sport.
Yeah.
Getting a blow to the chest like that, it all makes sense. Really does.
So you know what the interesting thing is? It's not as common in football. The three most common sports that we see it in are hockey, lacrosse, and baseball. And baseball is by far the most common.
Wow.
It's because of that projectile force that we see in when the ball is being thrown at such high speeds. And the interesting thing is that for this to happen, right, for this condition to happen, commotio cordis to happen,
right,
it's a matter of milliseconds for it to for the right conditions to be occurring. And the heart has to be in this specific rhythm in
at
that time period. At the time of impact. So it's a lot of things have to come together, have to go wrong for it to occur. And that's why it's so rare, right? It's kind of like the Swiss cheese model idea that a lot of things have to be aligned for something to go wrong. And that's what happened in this particular case.
Wow. Wow. And of course it happened, you know, in front of millions of people watching the game. So it makes sense. This would be a touch point for a lot of people and people will want answers.
Yeah.
Community
will
want answers. It all makes sense. Wow. Talking about the vaccines again, people should be reminded, of course, that, you know, definitely you want to be boosted. You want to be all caught up on your series. We are the most current vaccine is the bivalent vaccine.
Bivalent vaccines. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Want to make sure. And there aren't any, you know, increased risks or anything. There's nothing new that's happening with this vaccine. We're not getting any, you know, any numbers indicating that there's anything ridiculous happening. There's no information there. It's just as effective as it needs to be, as it possibly can be. I feel like a lot of us now are just getting used to it, kind of like we talked about in previous episodes, as far as staying up on your flu shots and things of that nature. So hopefully, you know, people will continue to stay vaccinated, you know, wear masks when they're, you know, in crowds and if they're just sick. There was a question from Janita Jones. She said, why are we getting an influx of what appears to be like super sicknesses? Respiratory systems seem to be under attack. RSV, cold, COVID. What factors are contributing to this?
You know, that's a very good question. So right now, the main thing is that with all these three, what we talked about, when was it, last week or the week before?
The last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. So the main thing is just understanding that, one, yes, the flu season this year is bad. The RSV season is really bad as well. It's worse than previous years. Why is it happening now? It's just a confluence of a lot of things that are coming together at the right time for the viruses, right? And unfortunately for us, at the wrong time. We were wearing masks two and a half, 3 years on, and now we've taken off our masks, and we're no longer keeping in small groups, and we're going out in large groups, and folks are no longer wearing masks. Folks are no longer practicing the physical distancing. Mm-hmm. So that's actually perfect for respiratory illnesses to spread.
Yeah.
So as soon as we put our masks back on, you'll see the number of cases going down with in terms of respiratory illnesses. So thank you for that question, listener. And I would recommend that right now, especially with the tripodemic going on, folks need to put their masks back on and ensure that, kind of like when you're outside and it's raining, right? You carry an umbrella or a rain jacket and you put it on when it's raining.
Yeah, that's simple. So right now, the variant that is starting to be the most prevalent variant right now is called XBB 1.5. And I first heard about it, I want to say maybe 2 weeks ago, started hearing about it in the news. And of course, you know, there is a level of concern and sensationalism the way it's put out there sometimes. And some of the questions I was hearing, some of the concerns I was hearing from people in the community was like, should we all just go back to quarantine? Like, how bad is this particular new strain? Everything we've been hearing in the news is that it's way more communicable, it's easier to spread, and it's more dangerous. And it's the vaccine isn't as effective on this particular strain. Like, we've been hearing a mixture of things. So, we've definitely talked about putting masks back on. But is this a situation where we should be thinking about going back under quarantine, or people should be considering working from home and, you know, things of that nature?
You know, that's I like that question because it shows that people are thinking about all the mitigation factors that worked very well previously.
Right.
So what I will say is that, you know, the XBB .1.5 is, it's another Omicron variant. It's another Omicron variant. And we've seen a few cases here in Oregon. We have, I believe, about 18% or so cases across the state. And it's more prevalent in the rest of the country at about 40%. So the mitigation factors that worked before work now again, meaning masking up, avoiding large crowds, you know, good hand hygiene, physical distancing, staying home if you don't have to go out, right? Mm-hmm. Or even staying home when you're not feeling well. So all those mitigation factors work really, really well. And again, probably the best mitigation factor that we have right now is vaccination. So we know that vaccines work. They continue to work really well in terms of preventing severe illness and preventing hospitalization. So if you haven't gotten your bivalent booster vaccine, please, please, please go out there and get it, because it works. It's very effective. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that I will say is that regarding this new variant, that we don't have enough data just yet to comment as to whether or not it's escaping the immune system, or at what percentage it's escaping the immune system. We don't have enough data to talk about whether or not it's causing severe illness. Well, there is no evidence to suggest that it's causing more severe illness.
Gotcha.
More information, our epidemiologists, our scientists are collecting data, and we'll know more as time progresses. But for now, the same mitigation factors that we've used so far continue to work really well.
Okay, that was great. I know there's people are concerned. You know, they're very concerned with the mortality rate. To know that we just don't have enough data yet is excellent. So let's not jump to any conclusions. Let's make sure we are not pulling too much from social media and making any hasty decisions based on that. However, I will say this. If the concern and hasty decisions lead to you being safer, like if these concerns are making you want to mask up, if these concerns are making you wanting to be more conscious about social distancing, it's not a bad thing. I just don't want people to run away with the information.
By all means, do it.
Yes, by all means, definitely do it. We encourage all the mitigation factors.
Yeah.
We just don't want you living in fear, you know, and be misled. So that's excellent. Okay, good to know. This last question or issue was brought up by Emma Holland. With regards to community care practices inclusive of immunocompromised people, how can we move forward without leaving a group of people behind? What are some of the best ways we can do that?
Oh, man. You know what? This reminds me of what the state epidemiologist, Dr. Seidlinger, said the last time we talked, which was, you know, we have to be mindful that just because I'm not going to get sick doesn't mean that those folks that have weakened immune systems, folks that are immunocompromised for whatever reason, right, that have pre-existing conditions, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the heart disease, the chemo, cancer, people on chemo or rheumatologic diseases, those individuals are still at a high risk of developing severe illness from COVID-19.
Absolutely.
So we have to be mindful of those folks, right? We have to do things to make sure that we're not leaving them behind, to make sure that we're not exposing them to illnesses unnecessarily. So it's that whole thing about we need to mask up to make sure that we're not bringing the illness to our loved ones at home, to grandma, to grandpa, to uncle, aunt, or whoever else is immunocompromised. So we have to be mindful of those individuals, and we have to do things that protect not just us but everybody else in the community.
There it is. Think about the other people in your community. We are global citizens. The virus has reinforced that idea and that concept for anyone that thought that, you know, you could just move out here and not really think about the consequences and how your decisions impact other people in your community. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to next week. We get to delve even deeper into this new variant with our third host, Dr. Evans, on the call with us. I want to thank everyone that interacted with us this week and gave us questions. Questions from the community are amazing. We love that. And we'll continue to involve as many of these questions as we get them every single week, part of the podcast. You got anything else you want to close with, or can we get ready for next week?
I think we need to get ready for next week. It's an exciting time to be talking about this, and hopefully folks are tuning in and taking away as many learning points as possible and saving as many lives as possible.
I know that's right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.